I feel like at this point, I don't really have any choice but to put a Jeff Daniels movie as the tagline.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Fuck, now I just wish this was a favorite Channing Tatum movie, because I could have gone.
I wish this was like a favorite Jeff Daniels list. I mean, for Christ's sake, I had some goddamn problems, which will become evident. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Get ready for Rush Hour. I'm in no rush to introduce my co-host, Mr. Dave Bisella.
That's me, rushing along.
There he is, speeding right along. I'm Ryan, that's Dave. We are Movies On Up. Get ready for Rush Hour is our tagline for this week. If you can deduce what movie that comes from, send your guess off to us in one of the following ways. Email moviesonup@gmail.com, on the Twitter, @moviesonup, or Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct, and if we choose you, we will rush over a prize package, perhaps the 7th prize package of the year. I don't know.
Ish, yeah. I lose count.
It's not really the 7th, but the reason that I bring it up is the reason we are doing our favorite Jeff Bridges movies is because his new joint, The Seventh Son, comes out pretty soon. I feel like as long as this movie's been delayed, they should have just waited to put it out on July 7th.
7-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, under the sun. Like, I wish...
Something like that.
For a little peek behind the curtain, what we wanted to do this week were favorite movies that went through multiple delays, because this and Jupiter Ascending, both major delayed movies coming out the same weekend. But that is so much research. So we went with Jeff Bridges movies.
Because it's less research. And on the surface, easier to do.
Yes. Ish.
Ish. As it turns out, I don't love the catalog of Jeff Bridges, which really kind of surprised me. I thought, oh yeah, this shouldn't really be that difficult. Dude's got a ton of credits. But when it came down to like nut cutting time, and actually picking 5 that I liked, things got a little sketchy.
See, my top 4, I really, really love my top 4. I have a few also runs. Like, my number 5 could have been any of these other 4 movies that, like, yeah, they're okay movies. This was an interesting list, because he goes back so far. Like, I didn't watch any of his older movies. And then he hit that career phase where he's credited. He should just be credited as Rooster Cogburn. Everything in that phase of his career, I haven't really enjoyed. I have a small window of his career. But the ones I like, I really, really like.
It's safe to say that, like, my top 2, I really, really like. And the other ones I think are goodish, too pretty good. But I'm dying to hear the one that you kind of could have interchanged with any of your also-rans. But what was a little bit ahead of the other 2 in your also-rans?
My number 5 Jeff Bridges movie is from 2009, right before the bearded, gravelly voice section took over. It is The Men Who Stare at Goats, starring George Clooney, Jeff Bridges, Ewan McGregor, Kevin Spacey, and Goats. I wanted to love this movie. I love the story of it. I love everything that this movie should have been, but it just, for whatever reason, fell a little flat. Everybody's great in it. Bridges is great. Clooney's great. Ewan McGregor's great. Kevin Spacey's fantastic. The performances are great. It just, I felt like there was just a little, I wanted a little bit more wool to the story, so to say.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like it was, I don't know. It felt like
they're
they
goats.
Shaved, yeah. Goats have wool. Don't they?
That's a sheep.
Oh, sheep.
It's a different animal.
Well, same thing.
A little more milk to the story, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. But I just wanted more from it, which is why it could be just swapped out with any of the also-rans that I'll get to eventually. But I liked it enough. I just wanted more from it.
In fairness, this is legitimately my number 5. Sometimes we kind of adjust things so we can talk about the same movie at the same time and not really mess up our list. But when it came right down to it, and I'll mention it later, there's one movie that I desperately wanted to keep off my list, and this is the movie that really allowed me to do that. And I think you bring up a great point. The actors are good in the movie, but none of the performances really seem to stand out. Jeff Bridges is kind of doing his he's playing kind of a dude-esque character. He's the leader of this New Earth Army. He's like a Vietnam vet who is trying to basically get the government to fund his research on how to conduct warfare, but not like non-traditional warfare. Basically, it's just an excuse for him to take a lot of drugs. The movie, and what I love the most about it, is the story. And it seems like it would be something that you would see on the History Channel, like after an episode of Ancient Aliens or something. Because, I mean, it is based on a book and a TV documentary about these soldiers that were trained in Psi warfare, where the thought was they could kill goats or enemy soldiers using the power of their mind. And it's just, the story is so absurd that if it weren't based in reality, there'd be no way that you would like sit through a movie about that, because it would be just completely ridiculous. But knowing that it's got a basis in real life, like, holy shit, my tax dollars actually went to this. But watching the story through all its twists and turns, knowing that, you know, these people are, you know, based off real folks, I find it fascinating that, you know, our government spent not only money, but time, manpower, actually trained people to try and, you know, bend spoons with their minds. Like, over the last 30 years, it's not like this was like a 1950s thing. It was, you know, like, I think post the Persian Gulf War where they tried to do this.
Yeah, my number four is a movie that I really, really love. It came up on a list a few months ago when we did favorite Robin Williams movies. It is 1991's The Fisher King, directed by Terry Gilliam, starring Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges. It's a good movie. I mean, this is a fantastic movie, and Bridges and Robin Williams both give fantastic performances in this movie, and it's really fun to watch them act off of each other, because it's just one of those where either one of their performances are what I would consider like powerhouse, and it'd be easy to be buried underneath either of those performances. But to see two of them like head to head, and just it's a joyous movie to watch. Like, if you're into just great acting performances, and you know, Terry Gilliam, I don't love a lot of his stuff, but the stuff I love, I generally really, really love. And this is one of those hits for him that I adore this movie. And Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges are just fantastic together.
I feel like there's a couple movies, and this is the first one that came to mind, that when I was doing the list, I was like, damn it, Dave's going to pick this. So I have to leave it off. And I think that's what, at least for me, that's what made this really tough. Because it was like, man, I could see Dave picking that. I could see him picking that. Weirdly enough, I didn't necessarily see him picking The Men Who Stare at Goats, but that's where we started. My number four is an oldie but goodie. It's from 1971, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. It's The Last Picture Show, starring Tim Bottoms, Bridges, and Cybill Shepherd. I grew up in kind of a small town outside of a city that has seemingly fallen apart, a lot like the Texas town that Bridges and Bottoms grow up in the 1950s. The prospects in this town do look pretty bleak, and basically you have a rich guy who dies and leaves all of his property, including a busted-down movie theater, to the common folk. He leaves the diner to one of the waitresses at the diner. That's kind of about how he rolls. And it seems like the town has got to be pretty boring, because it either comes down to, you know, you get bequeathed one of these businesses from this dying dead guy, or you do what Jeff Bridges does and just, like, join the army or something. And it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to do in this town other than go to the theater and the diner, because basically all the characters just kind of fuck each other, just kind of switch back and forth. Sometimes it's kind of hard to keep track of who's doing who. Cybill is getting it in with Bridges, and then she wants some of some other dude before she gets it in with a chick, but then she gets it in with Tim Bottoms, who's best buddies with Bridges, and he finds out, and he's not real happy about that. There's a bit of intrigue there, but it's not kind of like your fun soap opera kind of intrigue. It's just like, ah, damn, these people are just a mess. They kind of suck. And the whole movie is kind of depressing, but what Bogdanovich does is he'll kind of slightly kick you in the junk the entire movie. But man, at the end, does he really wind up and out of nowhere just really punts you right between the legs, ratcheting up the depression at the very end. You'd think he might kind of wind things down and sort of at the end of the movie leave you in a decent place. Not really. That's when he really throws the haymaker. And then you get kind of a lukewarm reunion ending where you're like, yeah, I guess that's a happy ending, but not really. And I guess that makes sense for, you know, the characters in this town. There probably weren't very many happy endings for them. So I guess it wouldn't make sense if the movie was all rosy at the end. It's definitely not The Last Picture Show.
My number
three.
My favorite number of this list.
Would think your number one
I don't
would
know.
Be.
It's, I don't, I was reading something.
I know.
It's a movie we've talked about either, I think on a couple lists. We did a favorite movie starring aliens movie and a movie in a John Carpenter list. And in both of them, this one's accurate. It is 1984's Starman, directed by John Carpenter. You have Jeff Bridges as an alien that inhabits Karen Allen's husband's body. And I love Karen Allen. Karen Allen was one of my favorite actresses in that era. And just them working together, he's that weird alien in a human body type thing, and he pulls it off pretty great. And then she plays off of him really, really well. And it's a road trip movie. It's an alien movie. It's a John Carpenter movie. Like, it's one of John Carpenter's, I'd say, more calm movies.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like a John Carpenter movie, but it shows that he can direct things that aren't, you know, slashers or perfect horror movies.
Yeah, so my number three is Starman, which I really, really love.
I'm a little bit surprised that it's number three on your list. I thought it would be a little bit higher. I knew it would be on there. And I do like Starman a lot, too, because it doesn't seem like he played... He wasn't like a Robin Williams Mork-type alien. He seemed as an alien from another planet, but also could have really just been from another culture. That's what it mostly felt like a foreigner in the land, not really knowing too much of how to interact with the people that he comes across. And I like that, because it is a sci-fi movie, but I think you could very easily empathize with his character, like if you've ever sort of been. I think it's like as much as an alien, it's a fish out of water movie. It's a road trip movie. You know, it is all of these things dressed up in sort of the sci-fi trappings of, oh, that's an alien in a dead guy, which is weird, but not necessarily for John Carpenter. My number three is from another director that I like an awful lot. Maybe not quite as much as Carpenter. I'm a bit of a shill for that guy, but I do love me some Sidney Lumet, and I do love me some neo-noir, and his 1986 joint The Morning After, starring Jane Fonda, Bridges, and Raul Julia, definitely makes my list because it is a Jeff Bridges flick and it is a neo-noir. Bridges plays a pretty large role in the film, but it's definitely Jane Fonda's movie. In complete fairness, is I really haven't seen many Jane Fonda-led movies. And I thought she was really, really great in this movie. She plays like an out-of-work actress who's a complete, like, blackout drunk. And she does it really, really well. She has a lot of turns in the movie where basically she wakes up next to a dead guy after blacking out. And the rest of the movie is her trying to figure out who killed that guy. Well, if she did it, and why, you know, she ended up next to this dead guy. And Bridges plays a cop who's kind of just picked her up at the airport and is helping her out because he wants to get it in with her because she's Jane Fonda or whatever. And just kind of the turn she goes from just regularly interacting like a human being and then just needing that drink and not being able to stop, and then she just completely turns into a giant mess. And sort of every time you think she makes some progress into figuring out her situation, she kind of takes three steps back by getting absolutely shit-faced and having things get really, really out of control. So, yeah, really, really great performance by Fonda. And it's another one of those that if you like the genre of either film noir or, you know, the neo-noirs, it definitely has. It has your red herrings. Fonda, I think, is a pretty good femme fatale, although she's definitely more the lead in this movie than Bridges probably typically would be if this was a straight-up film noir. But it keeps you kind of guessing right up until the end. I think they specifically withhold. It's not like you meet the killer in the first act and you just don't know. They really hold it till the end. And you're like, oh, shit, yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense. But I'd have been able to figure it out if I'd had all the damn information to start with. Maybe we'd have had that information if Jane Fonda wasn't such a lush.
My number two, it's a movie I feel weird saying I love it because of the content of the...
Is it R.I.P.D.?
Yeah, you got me. No, it's given the subject matter, it's a weird film to say you love, but it was way ahead of its time. It was 1999. It is Mark Pellington's Arlington Road. Basically, Jeff Bridges is this college professor. He teaches against, like, anti-terrorism. Tim Robbins is his neighbor that he suspects is possibly a terrorist. It's a cat-and-mouse game. I mean, it's a psychological thriller between the two where Jeff Bridges is positive. Like, he gets to a point where he knows that this guy and Tim Robbins and Joan Cusack are terrorists, and, you know, they have little Mason Gamble, and Hope Davis is his younger girlfriend. It's a really good movie, though, because it does keep you guessing in a little bit. Like, at some points, Bridges gets so convinced that he might come off a little crazy. Tim Robbins is able to sell you that maybe he isn't, and it's not the happiest of endings. Like, this movie, you can't accuse it of having a happy ending. And it's just scary that this came out in 1999. It was a pre-9/11 movie where it's more relevant now than it ever was. And you know, people tend to think terrorists all look a certain way. They don't. Like, this is domestic terrorism. There are terrorists in our world. And this is about one of them, allegedly, without spoiling anything. But it's such a good movie. And Tim Robbins is fantastic in this movie. Jeff Bridges is good as a guy who goes from having this great life with a younger girlfriend to just kind of losing his mind over being so sure about something. And it's just a really fun watch even now. And it's scary. Like, it's a scary thought that, oh, this neighbor is like, it's just random white dude in suburbia is capable of these terrible things that Jeff Bridges thinks he's responsible for. And it's just a really, really good movie.
I think it's a good point you bring up about, like, being ahead of its time. Obviously, in 2001, you can kind of look at terrorism maybe pre and post 2001, and I think that, you know, really maybe pre-2001, some of the, you know, most offensive terrorist acts in America were really perpetrated by, you know, Americans, not the Muslims that we think of now. Whenever you think of terrorists, I mean, I think more often than not, we just kind of flash to that Middle Eastern individual, especially, you know, pre-9/11. You know, that was just really not the case. So it's interesting to kind of go back and look at that. I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, if you were old enough to remember it at all, like, I think the way that you see things, it's always, you know, pre-9/11 and post-9/11. Your views changed, your feelings changed instantly when that happened. So to kind of look back at that movie, having been able to see it, which I didn't, before 9/11, having a certain feeling about it, and then, like, having that feeling completely changed, you know, after having lived through that, and like, oh my God, that movie means a little bit, maybe something different now. My numbers two and numbers one are both movies that I really, really like. I like all the other movies on the list, but if I never see The Morning After again, I think I'm going to be okay. That'll be just fine. But I have seen my number two multiple times, and not just this version of it. It is 2010's True Grit, starring Bridges as Rooster Cogburn, Matt Damon, Haley Steinfeld. And spoiler alert, my list is going to get a little Coen Brothers heavy as we wind down. A couple weeks ago, I had said that I talked about the 310 to Yuma remake, which I thought was actually better than the original. I don't want to say that this one is better than the 1969 joints. It's far and way better than the 78 Warren Oates attempt. But I think that Bridges was really able to channel the Duke and fall so completely into the role of Rooster Cogburn that Dave mentioned even at the top of the show that he sort of played that same role in the next several movies. Whether that was called for or not, it was kind of just like the time-traveling adventures of Rooster Cogburn. I don't think that they kind of fit as well going forward in those movies as they did specifically in this one. I do think that Matt Damon stepping in the Glenn Campbell role of LaBeouf brought a little bit more swagger and personality to that character and actually gave Bridges something to kind of work off of. So there was some kind of banter between the two of them. I kind of felt like Glenn Campbell was really sort of milquetoast in the original, and there just wasn't a lot of interplay or as much interplay as I would have liked between the two male leads at the very least. And I think that might be why, one reason why sort of the role of LaBeouf is different in the Coen brothers film than it was in the original one, just because he did seem to sort of work so well in the movie. I guess they just kind of wanted to keep him around. Just kind of an interesting note about the movie. It was nominated for 10 Oscars, whiffed on all of them, which I thought is pretty incredible. Perhaps it's maybe karma biting True Grit in the ass for John Wayne winning Best Actor in 1970 over John Voight and Dustin Hoffman for Midnight Cowboy. I love the two of those guys, specifically Hoffman so much, and I've mentioned it so many times in the podcast how much I love Midnight Cowboy. I guess that's maybe the universe's way of making things right. And obviously that Oscar, I think, was kind of a lifetime achievement award for John Wayne. But the fact that this movie, this Coen Brothers movie, didn't win anything, it deserved something. Maybe not acting, but it's something.
It was a good movie. I liked his Rooster Cogburn. But seriously, every movie since this movie, he has been Rooster Cogburn. Maybe with the exception of Tron, because I think it was filmed first. But every movie, it's been the same drawl, the same beard, everything. But I do like this movie because it gave us Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah.
She's been great. I mean, she's had an awesome career so far.
She was in a movie from my list last week.
Or next week. She's in Pitch Perfect 2.
Sure.
I really enjoy her, and this movie was good about bringing us that. My number one, I don't know if we'll have crossover on this. I'd assume so.
I think you should. Yeah. Because I kind of tipped my hand.
It's from 2006. It's the only movie that Jessica Binziger ever directed. Of course, that's the writer of Bring It On, and she followed that up with 2006's Stick It, starring Missy Peregrine, Jeff Bridges, a bunch of other people. Jeff Bridges plays Burt Vickerman, the legendary competitive trampolinist who's now running a gymnastics program to where Missy Peregrine, who used to be a gymnast, now is a punk, is now forced to compete. So it's him teaching her. I like Missy Peregrine. I wish she'd have went on to a bigger movie career after this. She did a lot of TV stuff. I really, really liked her in this movie. I love Jeff Bridges in this. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I've said before, like, I like this movie more than Bring It On. As much as I love Bring It On, I love this movie.
I think the humor in this was a little bit different.
It was a little different. It was a more rugged movie, if that's the right word for it.
Yes, absolutely.
It was darker.
It was more rugged than the cheerleading movie.
It was a grittier movie than Bring It On.
It was like the Chris Nolan version of Bring It On.
Yeah. It was like the gritty reboot of Bring It On. Missy Peregrine brought a little bit more edge.
I would like to say that that's some in-depth analysis that I don't think that you're going to get from any other movie podcast. So let me just toot our own horns here for just a little bit. If you really need a good Bring It On breakdown, Stick It with us.
And I'm sticking it at number one with Stick It.
I think I had an easier time writing your list than I did mine. I definitely nailed three of your movies. And you could see him coming a mile away. Our number one is not crossover, but as I mentioned, my list gets a little Coen Brothers heavy at the top. I would have loved to have been able to not pick the obvious choice here from 98, the movie that basically introduced me to Jeff Bridges and the Coen brothers. It was The Big Lebowski, starring Bridges, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi. The problem is, and it's not really a problem, I really love this movie. I kind of judge people, maybe I shouldn't, but I kind of do. I sort of judge people based on what they think of The Big Lebowski. And here's a quick hint for all of our lady listeners. If you actively dislike The Big Lebowski, we can't be friends. I understand that it's probably more of a dude humor movie. I get that. You don't have to love The Big Lebowski, but if you can't appreciate it on some level, I don't think that, you know, we'll appreciate each other. I will say that it took me a couple viewings to really be able to kind of get the movie and get its sense of humor and get its style. After I finally did kind of, it finally did click with me, I was like, oh my God, I kind of like what these Coen guys do. So I went back and watched some of the other flicks, and I will say that I don't like all of them, you know, on the second or third viewings, but this is one that no matter how many times I see it, I still like it. And in some instances, you know, I may even like it better every time I see it because there's just at least something else that I can pick up, another line or another look from somebody. Just there's a lot going on in the movie. I think it's wonderfully made. Another point of fact, I really kind of going back and looking at things, I haven't seen that many Jeff Bridges movies. He has a ton of credits, but I haven't seen most of them. And of the ones that I have seen, I knew some of them Dave was going to pick, so I really tried to leave those off. And I was kind of left with trying to watch one last night, morning after, I'm looking at you, just to be able to have enough so I could leave Iron Man off my list. Because, hey, that's a Jeff Bridges movie that I've seen and I liked and could go on my list, but I really just didn't want to be that guy. Kind of in the same way I didn't want to be that guy that put The Big Lebowski at number one, but I really love it. And I think that this movie, at least to me, perfectly illustrates what I perceive the brilliance of the Coens to be, at least from a storytelling standpoint. You've got kind of a less than impressive main character surrounded by these larger-than-life personalities, a lot of times played by John Goodman, I think of Barton Fink specifically, how he was so big and domineering in that, as he was in Lebowski. You watch these characters slowly get sucked into these increasingly odd circumstances, and I find myself, again, kind of like last week, when you talked about Kingpin and how I said that I still make Munson references. I do find myself making a lot of Big Lebowski references, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous. It's become such kind of a part of sort of my love of movies. I think really, I don't want to say it started with a Big Lebowski because it didn't, but I think it kind of opened up a different kind of movie for me. And I really, really like the movie.
Yeah, I also had Iron Man on my also-rans.
Sure, I did too.
I had Tron. I liked the original movie as a kid. I haven't watched it. I doubt it holds up, but I have good memories watching it as a kid, and I wanted to ride one of those laser bikes.
Yeah, those thingies. Motorcycle things.
Yeah, so I had to put that on there. Tucker, where he played Tucker, guy that invented the car or a car. I don't remember exactly, but that was good. And then The Contender. I probably like The Contender more than The Men Who Stare at Goats, but that was a Joan Allen movie. Like, Joan Allen crushed it in that movie. She's all my memories of that movie. I love that movie, but I don't – he played the president. I don't really remember him all that much. But those were all my Jeff Bridges.
I guess if I had to pick, like, an also-ran that is not Iron Man, I liked K-Pax. Some of the him and Kevin Spacey stuff was really, really good in it. But – I don't think there was enough for it to really make that much of an impression on my list, which is saying a lot because, again, my number five is The Men Who Stare at Goats, and he wasn't really in that movie an awful lot either. But I guess I will say that the movies that I really like of Jeff Bridges, I like an awful lot, and he makes some other... he's one that, when we did our Denzel episode, he's got a lot of credits, and you really have to look to find some ones that are just straight up garbage.
Don't have to look as hard with Jeff Bridges.
No, you don't. They're
especially recently.
I was gonna say, I just get this sinking feeling that the Seventh Son might be one of those that's straight up garbage.
And I mean, like the Giver, he brought that movie to life. Like, he's the one that he bought the rights. He wanted to make that movie.
And that may not be fair, because I do want to see that.
I mean, I haven't watched it, but RIPD, he replaced Zach Galifianakis in there, and I don't know what he was doing. I don't like a lot of his earlier. I mean, I narrowed it down. Like, the ones I like, I really, really like. But outside of those, I mean, like, I'd be all right not mentioning Tucker, you know, or even The Contender, because, like I said, I just don't remember him in that. And then, like, mentioning Iron Man just feels unfair, because he's such a, yeah, okay, he's the villain, but he's really, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it's not a Jeff Bridges movie, so.
Can I make a little bit of, like, maybe put an addendum on this? A lot of times when we do actor-specific episodes, I mean, I hear myself saying these words, like, it's kind of hard for me to leave off the movie where this actor won the Oscar for best performance, blah, 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 blah. Crazy Heart, not on either of our lists.
Yeah, it wasn't.
In fairness, if that is your favorite Jeff Bridges movie, I get it, and that's fine. I just didn't love that movie.
Yeah,
He's really good in it.
I forgot about it, to be honest with you. I do know he won an Oscar for it.
Sure did.
It was like I saw he was in The Contender. It's like, oh, I guess he was the president. I forgot all about that. So
does he win the Oscar for, like, most forgettable best actor in a leading role?
Because even when I think back to Fisher King, like, I think Robin Williams, which he is every part as much of that movie as Robin Williams is.
Here's kind of the son of a bitch about winning the Oscar in 2010 for Crazy Heart. The guys he beat, Colin Firth in A Single Man. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman playing Nelson Mandela in Invictus. Okay. Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker. Okay. And then George Clooney, Up in the Air. Up in the Air should have won everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, especially Best Supporting Actress.
Vera Farmiga?
No. Anna Kendrick was nominated for that movie.
They were both nominated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. But if we missed your
Neither
favorite
of
Jeff
won.
Bridges.
It was Monique for Precious.
If we missed your favorite Jeff Bridges movie, which I can't imagine we did, but if we did, if you're Bo Bridges and you're listening to this and you have five more,
that'd be pretty cool.
Hit us up at Twitter.com/@moviesonup, Facebook.com/moviesonup, or moviesonup@gmail.com. Let us know what you missed. Give us ideas for future lists, because we are running dry.
Or we may be doing a Bo Bridges episode.
Yep. So let us know. We'll be back next week with something that we have planned.
I feel like next week is probably a pretty extra special episode for us. Next week is...
it's our Valentine's Day.
Okay. Week. Yes.
So we'll have something special for Valentine's Day. But until then,
keep it up.